As Liz has indicated, I run two sort of national schemes that hopefully are helpful in terms of both the digital agenda, but also the wider technology and innovation agenda in conjunction with the 15 academic health science networks. One, the SBRI programme's been around for a while. I'm hoping some of you might be familiar with it. And it's fundamentally about supporting that creation agenda. And then the second, the Innovation Exchange, is a newer programme of activity that the Academic Health Science Networks are working on. And that's really about trying to help the AHSNs get a more structured and consistent process to adoption. So one's creation, one's adoption. So if I just very briefly say my background is a little unusual. Spent time working in the campaigning movements, anti-apartheid and the trade unions, and then ended up as Secretary of State Special Advisor. And I think there's some learning around how we're using some of those campaigning techniques that I try to bring in into the way in which I work. And certainly this isn't an activity that we can do in isolation. We have to work really collaboratively and really cross-sectorally with sort of local government partners as well as industry, health, and right the way across the range of government. And then I guess it's really just to reflect on some of the forces that we know and colleagues have talked about this morning. We're not in isolation in this. This is a global marketplace. We know we're significantly dependent on global players and the changes that they're bringing. If we look at what IBM Watson are doing and how the landscape gets transformed, we're not necessarily able to dictate the terms and set the agenda from the NHS, even though we are the largest provider and we have the largest opportunity in terms of adoption. And we know, you know, you'll know from reality that the financial pressures and the service demand pressures are happening across the NHS, but also significantly global. So any of you that are trying to take your innovations both from a sort of a UK market into international markets will know that the pressures in India and China and across the Middle East are very similar to the ones that we see in the NHS. And it's those pressures that we've got to be able to bring answers towards. So you're familiar with the Academic Health Science Networks, and we work across the 15 AHSNs to try and achieve a more consistent and unified approach to the way in which we're working with industry and the way in which we're taking adoptions, taking innovations forward into the NHS. And I know obviously colleagues in the Innovation Agency up in here in the Northwest can connect you into any of those other parts of the English infrastructure. So if you've already identified that you want to expand or grow or take your innovations elsewhere, it's definitely worth making sure that you do that in conjunction with the Innovation Agency, because they've already got those established networks. People may be familiar with the complexity of the innovation landscapes. It's fairly true to form, I think, within the NHS, but it's reflective of the fact that there's so many different ways in which we can help innovation, and we need to address multiple different challenges. So the section at the top is really just to give you a capture on the various schemes that are available around funding. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about SBRI Healthcare, but there are schemes, the Innovation Technology Payments Scheme and the Accelerated Access Collaborative, that are focused on funding and support at the adoption end of the landscape. So people will be familiar perhaps with some of the funding that's at the creation end. But if you're not familiar with the ITP or the Accelerated Access Collaborative, those are newer schemes that are available to support adoption and scaled adoption. Equally, the AHSN networks and the work that we're doing with NICE are really about trying to build those partnerships and the collaborative relationships, so that when we are adopting innovations, we're learning all the time we're doing it, and hopefully not having to keep repeating, as a colleague from Scotland was identifying. And then we have specialist schemes. You've heard already from the Digital Accelerator. We have specialist schemes that are targeting particular cohorts of individuals around digital in particular, but also for clinical entrepreneurs. So if there's individuals in the room who are clinicians by background and you've got ideas and innovations that you want to take forward. So there is a real breadth of offer, and it's probably worth saying that 5 years ago, very little of that infrastructure was in place. And so the academic health science networks in conjunction with partners have really transformed the offer of the landscape in terms of innovation. It's still hard though. I'm not going to say it's easy. So I'd tell you a little bit more detail about two schemes that I'm leading. So the SBRI healthcare programme and the Innovation Exchange. So as I've said, fundamentally SBRI is about funding the creation and supporting the accelerated development of new technologies. And it's a way in which the NHS, the innovations that it needs, and bring a focus around how where it's got gaps in terms of provision and what innovations it wants to support. And the Innovation Exchange is fundamentally about how we actually get a more structured and consistent approach to adoption of innovations. They both have a similar methodology. It's about really understanding NHS needs and then taking those needs and translating them into either a specification for something we need 3-5 years out, which is the SBRI space, or something we need today, which is the Innovation Exchange space. And all of the academic health science networks are working across both of those programs. So just briefly on SBRI, the process is, as I said, around articulating needs to understand what challenges they're experiencing and bring them to a level of specification that says, here is a problem that we currently don't have a solution for. So we can all in the obesity, long-term condition, so on. But what of those challenges actually would respond to a technology intervention? And having a real clarity around that need is what we do at the outset. We then work with industry and different partners to help generate an understanding of what those needs might mean. And then through a competitive process, companies apply, put forward their ideas and their innovations that they would solve those problems. I have to say there's some guys in the room, I know, so and people may well have applied, and it's not an easy process. We have a tough bar, but if you are successful through the selection process, you can receive up to £100,000 to prove the feasibility of your solution. And then following a 6-month feasibility process, we do another assessment, and you can receive up to £1 million to turn your idea into a reality. So that's the way in which NHS England and the Academic Health Science Networks are bringing a real accelerated focus around creating solutions for those problems that we know we have no solution for currently. Just in terms of where the programme has got to, NHSNs have been leading it for the last 5 years, and we know we've impacted on 1.2 million patients already, which is really exciting. And from a personal point of view, it's really fantastic to know that not only are we creating solutions, we're actually having impact within 5 years. And colleagues in the room will know quite how difficult it is to actually get from sort of concept through to the product being developed and actually adopted in practice. We've also seen significant leverage in terms of other investors coming in on the SBRI support. So it is a way in which companies can secure a level of validation. If the NHS is giving you money, then other investors think, well, they've got something really interesting. And we know we've seen over 180 million of private investment come into the SBRI companies. We've actually got over 60 companies in the programme actually on market now. So we have over 180 contracts that we have currently, and 60 of them have made it to market, which again is something I'm very proud of, and 21 of them are exporting. So this isn't just about saying your product is going to solve the NHS problems, although clearly that's our primary focus. It's also about saying, how do you grow and survive and build your business? Because we're interested in seeing economic growth, and we're interested in your business being a success internationally, as well as solving our challenges within the NHS. And we know we've created over 1,000 jobs, which is a really exciting solution to have got to. just very quickly, I won't take you through all of them, but just a couple of examples. We've got technologies that range the waterfront of clinical condition. Owlstone Medical have a breath analytics device that's completed its clinical trials. We're expecting them to be on market this spring. Basically, they have a chip sensor that had already proven that it could identify chemicals in a warfare setting. And they've been able to repurpose that to be able to identify volatile organic compounds on breath, and through that be able to diagnose cancer from breath cells. The whole field of breath analytics is massively opening as a consequence of the work that Owlstone have been able to do. And that's a company that's gone from 3 people to 600. So it's a really exciting company. They've had over $60 million of investment, and they're one of these ones we're just hoping will really just blow the market. They're really exciting. BrainMiner and Dovetail using different digital solutions. So BrainMiner using imaging and using machine learning to capture from imaging, understanding how we can transform the way in which dementia diagnosis and potential stroke diagnosis can support our challenges in terms of workforce restrictions. We don't have sufficient radiologists to be able to understand and read scans. And so what BrainMiner have been doing is using the machine learning and imaging expertise that they have to be able to transform and augment the decision making of our senior clinicians. Dovetail, I know we referenced earlier blockchain. Dovetail have been working with blockchain solutions to help us try and, oh goodness, that's some competition, help us try and manage some of the complexities around personal health records. People will know that the NHS has struggled with personal health records, and how do we manage comparable systems and data records in multiple different healthcare settings, so the acute hospital, perhaps the mental health service, the primary care service, and how do we run parallel data records? And blockchain is a really good mechanism, and Dovetail are working with NHS Digital and other partners with SBRI funding to try and see if we can find some improvements in that there. I won't take you through all of these, but suffice to say, there's a number of different digital solutions. Apps, we tend not to fund apps that are very singular. We like platform technologies and real transformation technologies. And New Motif, ADI, and my mHealth on the right all bring platforms and learning changes. And then I'm happy to talk you through 365 Response. But basically, it's a very different way of transforming our ambulance services to create an urgent care pathway as opposed to just a blue light emergency pathway. So if I move on to the innovation exchange piece, so SBRI is obviously about that creation and supporting the accelerated creation of innovations. But if we remind ourselves that we've also got a process that the academic health science networks are developing around how we support the adoption of innovations. And the Innovation Exchange is basically a structured mechanism that all the AHSNs are developing together to enable us to identify innovation. So it involves a lot of horizon scanning and understanding what the offer is across the breadth of the landscape in terms of innovation. But also, once we've identified innovations, to have a more consistent way of assessing them and triaging them, so that when we've got data and an understanding of the offer, how we can share that more consistently across the breadth of the HSNs. So we're working our way through to developing a consistent process of initial triage and initial understanding, so that we can make sure that innovations have a consistent capture, and then they can be shared across the whole network. And then if you're identified as an innovation that the AHSN is interested in accelerating the adoption around, we're also going to have a consistent process that we identify as real world validation. But fundamentally, it's about pathway testing. So not the clinical validity stuff, where you have to have achieved that already before you're coming into the innovation exchange, but it's about how we actually redesign the workflow. How do we change the way in which the practice is being delivered as a consequence of the new technology or the new innovation? And through the real world validation, and some of them may take 3 months, 6 months, it's slightly difficult to know, process, we will be able to capture a learning and understanding of some of the barriers, some of the glitches that were established in that adoption process. And that capture then means that when you come to the new new clinical environment, we can build on it rather than starting from scratch all the time. So we're having a consistent approach to that validation of innovations across the AHSN networks. And then finally, a scaled adoption and spread. Also, the we're still developing our structures around these, but the intention is to have a consistent approach to scaled adoption so that, again, where we know that there are challenges, be they related to clinical perspectives or workforce challenges or funding challenges, we know exactly what those barriers are so that when we roll out an innovation across the whole of England, we can do it as effectively as possible. And so the academic health science networks are in the process of developing the sort of underpinning elements of each of these stages, but we have collective agreement around this structured approach. And hopefully you will see in the next year or so a clearer pathway and a clearer way in which innovations are being pulled into the NHS. And obviously, in a few years' time, we hope to see that accelerated adoption of innovations and the change that we're looking to achieve in terms of patient care. So just, I guess, to give some examples, and I'm not going to go into the detail because you can't see, but people regularly say that the challenge around adoption is so difficult within the NHS, and they sometimes say there's no point trying. But I guess I wanted, and please look at these slides in perhaps in the packs when you get home, because the detail is there. The adoption around atrial fibrillation change is really significant, and the AHSNs have scaled that adoption and that change right the way across the landscape in terms of innovation adoption across the whole of England. We still have more to do, and there's definitely work underway to bring a change in terms of the way in which technology is transforming the identification of AF. But there's clear evidence that working with the AHSNs and working in this structured process is working. We're also seeing changes. This is a program around transforming pharmacy information and understanding and supporting that knowledge in terms of primary care, so that when people are discharged from hospital, their medications are consistently applied in a primary care setting. And again, you can see the breadth of engagement that the AHSNs have been able to achieve. So, final one on pain management and improving people's conditions in terms of living with chronic pain. Each of these three programs have technology components as part of the way in which the transformation is being delivered, and each of these programs have a scaled adoption across the whole of the NHS. So I guess I just wanted to underscore for you that the AHSNs have been working collectively around that whole landscape in terms of trying to bring a more consistent and more articulated process so that innovations can be pulled, sort of accelerated and pulled into the NHS and bring that transformation that we're all looking to see for patients' benefits. So I think that's it. Thank you very much. Thank you.